Well, you may have sat down to watch your favorite TV show at one point, and as it began, I'm sure you know the kind of thing I'm talking about. There was an announcement that maybe came on at the beginning of the show saying something to the effect of, "Previously on Get Smart," or "Last week on The Office." You know what I mean, something to that effect. The traditional TV line, when you just kind of jump into a multi-part episode. If you remember, the thought behind the previously on or the last week opening monologue was to inform the viewer that you missed an episode, and so now you're going to see a recap, you're going to see a montage of the entirety of what you missed in about 35 seconds, the point being to catch you up. Well, I'd like to begin this morning's message by saying something similar. Of course, you know, my point up here is not to entertain, but to preach God's word soundly. But it seems so fitting to say, "Previously from the pulpit." So there you go. I just felt like saying it. Basically, over the course of the last 2 weeks, we covered the first two words of our mission statement. And again, if you've just been joining us lately, that's now on the back of your bulletin as a part of the logo. Go teach, baptize. This week, we're on the last part of that mission statement. We're going to wrap up the series. If you missed the first two parts, I don't have a full recap for you, but our sermons are available on the website, so I'd like to encourage you to log on and check that out if you couldn't join us over the last couple weeks. Well, in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus has given us, once again, what we've nicknamed the Great Commission. It's from where Ferris Church of Christ has adopted our mission statement, "Go Teach, Baptize." Let's read our text one more time through this morning. By this point, if you'd like to read along out loud with me, jump right in. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" 2 weeks ago, we answered the question, "Where are we going?" Last week, we answered the question, "What are we teaching?" This morning, we'll finish our series by asking the question, "Why are we baptizing?" That question again is, "Why are we baptizing?" So whether you were here previously in front of the pulpit or not, I pray our time in the Word this morning will be edifying. I pray it will be informative. We're going to do our best in the time that we have to talk all about baptism. So what are we waiting for? I knew I'd have a tough crowd on that one. We're asking the question, why? Yep, she's shaking her head down here at me. You didn't let me go through this with you to cut out all the bad jokes, so sorry. You got to suffer through all of them this morning. The question, why are we baptizing? Don't worry, I can get a lot more embarrassing from here on out. Why are we baptizing? Scripture gives us several answers. Several answers. The first simply being Christ commands it. Christ commands it. That's a pretty good reason. That's a pretty good answer to the question. It must be important. Look at the middle to the end of our text in verse 19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus considered baptism to be so important. One commentator notes that he himself walked several dozen miles from Galilee to the Jordan to John in Matthew chapter 3 so that Jesus himself could be baptized. Jesus is the sinless one too, remember. And this brings us to another answer to the question, why baptize? I'd like for you to make a note, if you're jotting down notes of things to maybe look up after our time together, two scriptures, Acts 2:38, and the second one is Acts 22:16. Second answer this morning, for the remission of sin. For the remission of sin. And if you would, go ahead and pull that Acts 2:38 up if you have a Bible handy. It's a scripture that when it comes to knowing our mission to the world, we can't emphasize it enough. Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Okay, so here's a big reason. Reason number three, big reason. At the point of baptism, one literally receives the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling, literally, of the Godhead or Trinity. So we can see why Jesus in our verse 19 says to baptize in the name of each person in the way that he does. Fourth reason, it's the point in time where new life in Jesus begins. At the point of baptism, at the point that we receive the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit, we are officially, biblically speaking, Christians. Officially. Let's dig a little deeper into the language. The Greek English lexicon of the New Testament notes that in the Greek, this expression in or into the name in verse 19 signifies to come into the possession of another. To come into the possession of another. So we see three distinct persons, but one triune God beginning a brand new relationship with the believer at the point in time the believer is baptized by another. So it's a big deal. When we talk about being born again, this is it. Scripture says it time and time again. There are other examples. 1 Peter 3:21, which says baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A couple other scriptures you might make a note of. Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4 says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Baptism's a big deal. One last scripture for you, Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So when we come up out of those baptismal waters, when we come up out of those waters of baptism, we're in Christ. We're in Christ. We've died to the old in the land of the passing so that we may live anew with Jesus for eternity. Romans 6:10. Four big reasons why we baptize: because Christ commands it, for the remission of sins, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so that we may be buried to the old life of sin and raised to the new life of the saint. That's right, the saint. The person who may still sin, but those sins are now forgiven by God. We understand the Bible teaches that baptism isn't just a religious tradition. It's not just an acknowledgement of something theological that we believe. It's actually a matter of life and death. And here's one more answer to the question. One more answer to the question, why baptize? We baptize because baptism is a sign of a covenant between God and man. It's a sign of a covenant. Remember all the old signs of a covenant? They're scattered throughout the Old Testament. For example, I know other things are being done with a rainbow these days. Originally, a rainbow stood for that promise God made. It was present after the flood. We can know God isn't going to flood the earth again because we can look up and see his rainbow. It's a covenant sign. Well, we can know we are born of the Spirit when we have followed Jesus into the waters of baptism. John 3:5-8. So why baptize? A better question might be, why not? Why not? Now, I know we just covered a lot of scripture, and I hope I didn't lose anybody, but the name of this sermon is all about baptism, and there's a lot to cover to get through it in one morning. But I believe it's important that we catch the implication of Jesus' words in our Great Commission, that when we are baptized, we come into the possession of another. So think what that means for your life as a newly baptized Christian. Think of the significance of this. You're now a child of God. You're now a child of God. You're calling upon the Lord of hosts, Jehovah God, as your Father. How about that? How about that? You know, last weekend was kind of a big weekend for us here at Ferris Church of Christ. Over the course of the weekend, we had two baptisms. You know what that means, that we had two baptisms? Well, it doesn't just mean we put water on a couple people. It means two lives were changed by Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Luke 15:10 that there, and this is really cool, I love this, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So this means that Gabriel and Michael and all the other angels whose names are either apocryphal or we just don't know yet have been celebrating in the heavenly streets, on the streets of gold. They're getting down. I have to tell you that initially, when my daughter Emmeline approached me to inform me, you know, she came to me and she said that she was ready. Not just that she wanted to be baptized, but that she was ready to be baptized. I was a little surprised. Struck me kind of different. Did you ever see the Steve Martin movie, Father of the Bride? You know, a Steve Martin character in that movie? That was me. That was me with baptism. I was thinking, you just quit taking formula last week, child. But before I could finish the phrase, you're too, I realized there was no biblical way I could say what the dad in me wanted to say. And so Sunday morning, we were each bringing a change of clothes to church with us. It's always good to have that. I've learned that one. Won't go into details, but it's not pretty. Praise the Lord, Emmy was baptized. You know, a couple times I've quoted that old spiritual song I'm a fan of from the pulpit. When the Lord gets ready, you got to move. I don't know if you've ever heard that old song, but when the Lord says you're ready to be baptized, you better get baptized. Here's the cool part. There's no organization in the world that can tell you otherwise. There's no one out there that can argue with you on that point, because you know why? It's God's will. My Bible says that each and every one of us in this room, outside of this room, repent, 2 Peter 3:9, and be immersed into Christ. My wife Becky, I'm going to embarrass her again for a moment. My wife Becky was brought up in a cult that required permission from some of the important people in the organization before baptism. And that was a red flag for her, that it wasn't Jesus, but the organization that was in charge of those people. That was a big red flag for her years ago. And praise the Lord, she did end up later being baptized. Cedar Creek Church of Christ, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And now Emmy, my little girl, I guess now my big girl, she's followed suit for both of them. At this point of baptism, they became part of the church. They became part of God's family. And since this Great Commission was intended for each and every baptized believer, when we come up out of that water at baptism, we better get ready to go teach, baptize others ourselves, just as it was taught to us. Those of you who were here last Sunday after Emmy's baptism, do you remember that song that we sang? I know George does. Go ahead and sing it with me. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I'm pretending we're an a cappella church, just for one sermon. It's an old traditional we like to sing after a lot of public baptisms. You know, now we belong to Jesus after baptism. But now we belong to him so that we can get busy on his mission for our lives. You know, now Jesus owns us in every sense of the word own. And we don't want to belong to anybody else ever again. So let's serve him together for the glory of his kingdom, because we have a mission and the time is now. But before we wrap up our time this morning, before we wrap up our study all about baptism, there are a few more additional points that are worth addressing. You know, I've had it come up in conversation with people on the subject, people that are curious. Often I might be asked such things as, well, why does blank church teach blank? You know, Uncle Louie used to take me there on Sunday mornings for their church service, and they didn't baptize like you guys do up here with this great big bathtub that I just want to jump into and turn on the jets until I get pruny. They said this little bowl up on the stage. A couple of disclaimers. Uncle Louie is not the same guy from last week's sermon. Not the same guy who comes to Thanksgiving dinner and nobody likes him. That's a different Uncle Louie. People like this Uncle Louie. Secondly, point number two, the elders have not caught me sitting in that baptistry with the jets on during office hours. Once I can find the jets and the bubbles and the radio, I can't promise I'll ever be in my office again. But we have this great big bathtub of sorts up here because in 1611, when the King James Version, and I'm holding an NIV here, so that's kind of not true, but when the King James English Version of the Bible was translated, the king's translators took the Greek word baptizo, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. They traded the O out for an E on the end of it, which is when we came up with the English word baptize. That's when it happened. It's the exact same word as baptizo with one little change of a letter, and baptizo is equal in meaning to all of the following words: submerge, plunge, dip, wash, immerse. All Greek scholars and Greek dictionaries translate the word from the Greek in this manner. There's no other way of translating the Greek word baptizo. I know there are some that might teach the sprinkling of water, but that's a different Greek word. That's rantizo. Jesus didn't use this word, and none of the authors of the New Testament used this word. For 1,300 years, baptism in the church was an immersion of the person underwater. There was no question about it. And then a council was held by the Roman Catholic Church in 1311, which substituted sprinkling. The rest is church history. But maybe you're thinking, you know, sometimes you might get asked, well, what about my newborn baby? Because I'm going to drown her if I throw her in this great big tub. But when we open the New Testament and look at every example of baptism in God's word, it's interesting. It's interesting. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized. Infants cannot repent. Infants cannot repent. It's go, teach, baptize. When we look at the words of Jesus and in each example of conversion in the New Testament, we find no record of any baptism except of penitent believers in Christ. It's very important that we note this. The baptism of an infant or of an unbeliever would not be considered Christian baptism. So that's kind of the long answer for why we have the baptistry and who can go in it. But one last point to touch on this morning, and I'll try not to go off too long about it. Maybe the Uncle Louie, again, this is the guy everybody likes, didn't take you to church where they sprinkle. Maybe the baptistry we have up here is a familiar sight. But maybe the preacher of that church modeled his preaching style after those big Billy Graham crusades and asked the members of the congregation to accept Jesus into their heart or simply pray a prayer. And so you're really confused as to why this Church of Christ guy is throwing you off the deep end here this morning. Get it? I can't come up with good water jokes. You're all proof of that. How about this? If it's a good one, it comes from the Lord. If it's lousy, it's one of mine. You know, I think there are some well-meaning churches, some probably even in your neighborhood, that would prefer to end this conversation with asking Jesus into your heart, even though that phrase isn't in the Bible. It's not entirely their fault in the 21st century that there's a misunderstanding with at what point you receive the Holy Spirit. You see, the teachings of certain Reformed churches rose in response to a works-based system that had really gained steam by the time Martin Luther came around. So when Romans 6:3 says, please make a note of Romans 6:3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? The thought process could go, well, we don't want to teach that water itself saves us. like the 30 other steps that this Church of the Dark Ages has taught. I'm sure this was the thought process. So spirit baptism, water baptism, two separate events. No, they're not. They're the same event. Jesus says in Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. We don't receive partial or half spirit at baptism and then go on and get more spirit and more spirit and more spirit after that. The Bible says at baptism, we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. That's his entry. But wait, there's more. I'm back to TV again. What if you don't make it to be baptized before you die? Because I get asked this one a lot. What if you don't get there? What if you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, repented of your sins, confessed Jesus as the Son of God, and on the way to church Sunday morning, the Lord takes you? Maybe there's a heart attack. Maybe there's a terrible accident. What happens? Well, what saved you? Getting wet? What saved you? Getting wet? Or was it Jesus on the cross? You see, his plan has always been to offer a free gift of salvation, but you be baptized not because a dunk in water itself equals salvation, but because the New Testament commands baptism and Jesus calls you to be obedient. We can talk hypotheticals all day, and I know some in the Church of Christ struggle with this what if. What's important is that when Jesus calls you to obedience, you follow. You follow. Just as my precious Emmeline did last weekend when she was baptized for the remission of her sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because I think there's some confusion. I think there's some questions from time to time. You know, being all about baptism doesn't mean that you're caught up in something works-based. The contrary is true. Being all about baptism means you are caught up in being all about following the example of Jesus. Happened when Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. You know, at Ferris Church of Christ, our mission is to go teach, baptize, and my prayer for us as Christ Church is that moving forward, we let this urgency of Matthew 28 drive us from here to eternity. Because these are the very words that Jesus said when he physically left us the last time. May we be ready to report mission accomplished upon his return. Let's go teach what we know about baptism. You know, I pray if you've just recently made the decision to be baptized, I pray that the congregation is surrounding you with love, with prayer. This is just the beginning of your journey, just the beginning of your spiritual journey with Jesus to others. And if you've not yet made that plunge, literally, if you've not yet become a baptized believer, maybe today is your day. Go teach baptized friends. That's our mission. As another old TV show once asked, will we choose to accept it? Remember that one? Will you pray with me? Lord, we come to you and we are thankful to you for that free gift of salvation. And Lord, may we give you all the credit for all the saving. But Lord, may we also remember that we have a choice. We have a choice to obey you. We have a choice to repent. We have a choice to confess who you are. We have a choice to be baptized. And we have a choice to live faithfully. Lord, you do so much for us, and you really do ask for very little in return. May we have the courage to be living sacrifices so that the world may know that we are your church. Not because of anything we do, not because of anything we can do, but because of who you are and what you've done. Lord, I pray that we have the courage to be obedient. We have the courage to be servants. We have the courage to follow you in self-sacrifice. We have the courage to follow you even to death, so that we may be resurrected. Lord, we thank you for the church. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit. These things that help us in our journey. Lord, I just pray if there be anyone here that does not know you, that they would come forward and have the courage to claim you. And it is in the name of Jesus I pray these things. Amen. Well, all about baptism is all about obedience. It's all about following Jesus. It's all about that living example that he's given to us in his word. And I pray that word, the lamp unto our feet, light to our path, truly be those things in all that we do. You know, from that hour that we first believe, from that point of baptism, until Jesus calls us home. Today, if you have a public decision you'd like to make, if you'd like to rededicate yourself, if you'd like to come forward and say, hey, I've been a believer, I'm baptized, but I want to make this my church home and worship with these people. If you want to place your membership with us at Ferris, or if you'd like to be baptized this morning, if you'd like to follow Jesus, and if there's some way he's calling you to do that, we'd like to have you come forward as we stand and sing, Just As I Am.